I was saying, sir, I know that our mics weren't on. We were trying to keep it professional, and then we're talking anyhow. I was saying I can't swing from the microphone like a monkey anymore because it picks up like crazy.
Yeah, don't do that, man.
I feel so bad during my Dr. Steve interview. You just hear like a rusty swing set in the background. I'm like going, oh, it was horrible. All right, folks, it is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show site is pfpod.com. If you do the, the podcast app on, any iDevice, if you do Stitcher on an iDevice or a Droid, subscribe that way. Please subscribe to the show, rate it, and review it. Just look up Papa's Football Podcast. That was very difficult, wasn't it? P-A-P-A apostrophe S, Football Podcast. All right, I don't want to... Okay, it's rare that a broadcaster gets to be the Cronkite of his generation.
Yes.
But it's happening today, Howard, because I get to announce, a day after the fact, Deadspin's article that I think shows journalism is exactly where it needs to be this day and age. Anyone who critiques what is, why things that go viral on the internet as being worthless and just vapid... This makes them eat their words. Are you ready to hear the news that Deadspin broke yesterday?
Yeah, I have no idea what Deadspin does.
You demanded to be shielded from this so that your reaction on air could be an honest one. Here it is. Butthole eaten at Lions tailgate. Butthole eaten at Lions tailgate. Now, let me give you the picture. The one confusing thing about me, and they tiptoe around this, I don't know. It's definitely a man eating the butthole. I don't know if it's a man having his butthole eaten or a woman. And that's not a knock on Detroit that they all kind of look the same up there. It's just very hard. You just see a sweatshirt and a kind of pool cap, a wool cap, stocking cap pulled down, and the face is turned away. And you just see a face with a ball cap on, mind you. So he is eating ass at a very pro level. I would have to at least pull a Tony Romo or Ben Roethlisberger and turn my ball cap around to eat an ass, but I am an amateur.
You can't do the 45-degree angle tilt. No. I got that one down, man.
No. This guy is just straight up like I came off of second base, and I am now eating ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I was going to ask, how can you be sure he's not eating pussy? And I'm pretty sure he's not eating pussy.
No. Eating pussy from behind is a hard trick.
Yeah.
And I've really never attempted it because it just seems like you would, your nose is going in that ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you're successful, you're failing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what would be hot about that? Like, you lick it so well, her ass contracts around your nose.
Ew.
And you're just like, look at me from heaven, dad. Ew. Look at me from heaven. We both have dead dads. That works for both of us. Yeah, the reader who sent this photo along to us says he saw this butthole eating in the parking lot of Nemo's, a bar near Ford Field. Kickoff's at 4:25, so these fans have plenty of time. That's it. That's the extent of the article, in air quotes. And everyone on Earth shared this photo. It currently has 1,358,000 shares or upvotes or whatever the hell on Deadspin.
Very well timed with the series finale of The Newsroom. I gotta say, those two things happening on the same day.
Did it also eat butthole? I have not watched it.
You know, honestly, I've only watched season 3 of that show, and I gotta say,
are you kidding me?
No. But I'm not sure I want to watch.
Four episodes long?
It was like 5-6 episodes, and yeah, that last episode, it's all right, but they give a happy ending to pretty much everybody, so it doesn't make me that excited to watch seasons 1 and 2.
With all the idealism in that stupid show, you really thought they'd end on a dark note, like Jeff Daniels is assassinated by some extreme right winger?
There was a funeral. I'll say that. That's all I'll tell you.
Oh, which character that no one cared about did they kill off? That's some ballsy writing, Sorkin.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into the news, the actual news, not just the butthole eating times, we always love to commend those of you that take the time to mention that you listen to the show. We actually had a comment on the website. As disgusting as our website is, as pedestrian as it is, someone took the time to leave a comment last week, and we want to acknowledge them. So Jeremy S., you did the Lord's work leaving a comment, sir. You said your friends from the Sean and Bo show, S-E-A-N, scene, really the Scene and Bo show.
I got a friend who spells his name that way.
They said to check out the show. I don't know why they're recommending us, but God bless them. and you liked the show. You grew up in D.C., so you know the pain of being a Redskins fan, and now he's into the Ravens, it seems. So
good. Good for him.
Good for you.
Smart move.
Team-jumping son of a bitch backstabber. But yeah, and all kidding aside, thanks to all three of you guys. There's our listener base right there. That and really profound. He enjoys his shout-outs. Who am I to take him away from him? All right. Oh, and we have a PSA.
We do.
We have a PSA. This is football related, though.
This is exactly why you listen to this show, because we actually are helpful sometimes. There are games this Saturday. Now that college football has ceased, the NFL may once again reclaim Saturday for pro football fans. So just be aware that the NFL is run by morons who are calling it Thursday night football on Saturday. I can't believe how fucking stupid they are.
Why?
Yeah. So it's Thursday night football on Saturday. Just remember, Saturday football.
And
Saturday football's
say
back.
Games in air quotes. Like the 4:30 games, Eagles at Redskins. Pfft.
I want to watch that night game. I mean, I might be doing something else on Saturday night.
Chargers at 49ers, 8:25. I mean, 49ers have been mathematically eliminated with their loss this week to the Seahawks. And the Chargers are...
They're 8-6. I actually picked them at the beginning of the season to get the sixth spot in the AFC. So I'm still alive as far as picking all six teams to make the playoffs in the AFC.
And I am predicting Philip Rivers this offseason will engage in unprotected intercourse with his wife and sire an eighth child. We each have predictions. Let's see who wins. I am putting all of my money on moi. All right. Last week, or I guess this week, this past Sunday's slate of games and Thursday's slate of games, Howard disagrees on some level. For my money, I don't think I've been as bored this season so far.
I found week 15 also pretty pathetic. It was highlighted by ESPN's highlights on Monday morning showing the top five running plays, the top two of which were Tom Brady was number one, and then Josh McCown was number two.
Nothing hustles like a white quarterback in his mid-30s, so
it was
clearly
brutal.
Clearly, that was an amazing thing to see. The Thursday night game was the Cards beating the Rams 12-6. So nothing like a hardcore field goal fest. The Cards lost Drew Stanton, at least for the night.
That's a big story, though. I mean,
that's a huge story. They're already down Carson Palmer. Who is going to be the quarterback for this team at this point, dude?
It sounds like Stanton will be back. The problem is, I don't think even with him playing quarterback, they're going to be able to beat the Seahawks. So they're looking at going from the one seed currently back down to a wild card spot.
No, that's horrible. There is no team in the league I feel for more this year than the Cards. Like, if you don't pay attention to weird regional NFL news, and I do because I'm creepy like that, I love Reddit's NFL section, and I cannot tell you how many threads were posted by guys out of Arizona talking about there was a lot, and I mean a lot of scuttlebutt, that they were trying to get Warner out of retirement to play. Never you mind that Bruce Arians came out and was like, I don't want that old bitch. And even Kurt Warner by the end of the weekend was like, guys, it's been fun talking about this, but I was too old and slow.
I mean,
7 years ago.
Sorry to alienate our two listeners from Arizona, but that's a moronic statement to me, because I don't understand how you could even look at him. I understand he's the only person who's ever taken you to a Super Bowl. But even that year, that team was 9-7. Like, this is not a world-beating quarterback.
You know who I want in? You goddamn know who I want in. I want him to run his hands through his gray stubble. I want him to put his cock back in his Wranglers, put away the camera phone.
Favre would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Favre would be really interesting.
Oh, that's all I want. That for Christmas. A Favre Cardinals jersey. Give me that, God. I will commit suicide at the end of the season. It's all downhill in my life from there.
Well, what I really wanted was an Adrian Peterson Cardinals jersey. That's what I wanted, and that's not going to happen either. So I feel fully deprived this season by the NFL of any sort of interesting running game, because that man was in prime form heading into this season, and we were like just completely deprived of decent running play this year. Like, DeMarco Murray is the best we got. Le'Veon Bell is the other guy. Le'Veon's having a really good season. He's probably looking better than DeMarco, in my opinion.
I can't believe you're saying that with Trent Richardson having cost two different teams a first-round pick. That's how goddamn good he is. Not one team content with him. Another team took him for another first. How goddamn dare you, sir? So, God, in addition to, again, a horrible Thursday night game that the only intrigue resulting from it is this weird, will Kurt Warner come to us? They put up banners in Arizona, like actual billboards for ridiculous companies. It was like, Bob's moving at the bottom. At the top, it was like, Kurt, come back.
Great White Hope. That's my nickname for Kurt Warner. He's the Great White Hope.
I mean, I know you hate him. You're like, I don't want him in the Hall of Fame. He's going in.
He doesn't. I'm going to be so mad if he gets in first ballot this year. He does not deserve it.
Slam dunk going. Any man who has sex with a woman whose buzz cut mirrors his own deserves everything else he can get in life. If his kids see him, and by the way, I think they're all her kids. If they see both of their parents walking in the dark, they cannot tell them apart.
Just the way he lost his starting jobs in both St. Louis and New York highlight the mediocrity that is Kurt Warner. He had times where he was extremely hot in his career, but it typically was when he was surrounded by extremely talented players.
Sorry, I'm trying to look up and confirm that I'm thinking of Jacko. Is that who I'm thinking of? The Australian guy from the late 80s that had like a buzz cut? We're really getting deep here.
I only remember Brian Bosworth, man.
No, nope, there's Jacko. There is Jacko hawking some Energizer batteries.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jacko is Kurt Warner's wife.
Oh, no! Yeah, that's fair. That is accurate.
Yes. Jacko,
I never thought of that.
I think Jacko has a more effeminate cut than Kurt Warner's wife.
No.
Why? This is unleashing. Why was I able to remember this? There was a show called The Highwayman starring Jacko, which I believe was on NBC. And somehow I pulled that title out of my ass. I can't remember your last name half the time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I'm going to be like in the old age home. I'll just be like, Jacko, Highwayman. Who's the black man touching my diaper? Get away from me. Oh, man. Yeah, it started with a bad Thursday night game. I think by anyone's metric, I know you're big. I like runs. I like defense. You want something to happen offensively. It just didn't in this game. And it wasn't due to defensive strength so much as offensive ineptitude. Sunday, 1 p.m. slate, the highlight, and I mean the huge highlight, was Johnny Manziel starting for the Browns this week. It was very funny. If you look it up, they had a map of Fox's broadcast zones, if you will, like what areas of the country are getting what game. And when Brian Hoyer was starting, it was just kind of like this area in Ohio. It was like an all-Ohio map for the game previously. They were playing the Bengals. They announced Manziel as the starter. And it looked like a goddamn Cowboys or Broncos at 4 p.m. broadcast map all of a sudden. The country lit up with this game. We didn't get it naturally, organically.
Because it's a garbage game.
Well, we had the Skins, precluding them. But I went online and I dug up the Browns game after like 20 minutes of searching.
Yeah.
Look up Reddit NFL streams. And you know what? So not worth my time. Just a bad game. I tapped out by the end of the half where I was like, is this really happening? The Redskins game is more watchable than the Browns game?
Yeah, I mean, for several weeks now, people have been talking about Manziel replacing Hoyer, and we've said it on this show. I've been particularly vocal in saying that Manziel should not have started until week 16 after the Bengals game. Because to me, Hoyer already beat the Bengals. I don't understand, no matter how bad he's been playing for the last 4 weeks, he's healthy. And that's the moment where it's make or break for him. I just think it was royally unfair for him not to have the chance to show that he could beat the Bengals twice. Because he did it once this year. He's already shown he could beat the team that they just got shut out 30-0 against. So that coach looks like the biggest moron of the century right now.
Petten, right? Yeah. I always want to call him Petten, but it's just Petten.
And he looked really great up to this point in the season. I thought he handled everything well up to the decision to start Manziel this week. And his post game is just ridiculous because he embarrassed himself. He put every veteran on that team in the position of not trusting him anymore because it looks like he threw away their season to get Johnny Manziel one extra week when Brian Hoyer really was the guy that would have given them the best chance in retrospect on winning this week. How many first downs do you think the Browns had this week?
I mean, not many. I'll tell you this. I watched the first three drives, and the first was a three and out, and the next two, it looks like Manziel converts on third down, and I think both were, like, revoked via penalty, and then it was just a botched longer third down attempt afterwards. So how many was it? Like, six?
They had five first downs. Wow. That, like, withstood any sort of, like, penalty call. Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. Just I think it was on the second drive. Manziel, it might have even been the first. Manziel takes a sack. And the guy sacking him just stands up and gives the money Manziel.
Oh, yeah. It's just too easy.
To the audience.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is going to be a long day for this guy.
I just think it's a bad matchup with Marvin Lewis. You can say what you will about his prospects beyond this season if he doesn't win a playoff game. The reality is he's a great defensive coach. And there's no way you're going to stick a rookie in who comes from the spread offense of college and have him perform well against a Marvin Lewis. He's not going to do well against Marvin Lewis's defense.
Marvin Lewis looks like a darker version of my dad. That's why he creeps me out. Slightly darker. My dad was a Greek islander, so he was of dusky countenance. But
now it upsets me to think of the pressure to put Manziel in. And the thing that I have to bring up from this past weekend where Manziel is relevant, other people aren't talking about it yet, but I look at Marcus Mariota, the guy who just won the Heisman coming out of Oregon, and I think it's ridiculous for him to be drafted even as high as Johnny Manziel was last year, because you're not just dealing with a guy who comes from a spread offense, played at Oregon. You have a guy that's, you know, that Chip Kelly version of the no huddle spread offense. So you have a guy who's going through college, Marcus Mariota, not only just using this weird spread option and more talented players, but they're also using their athleticism and preparation and endurance to their advantage against college kids. And all that disappears when he goes to the pros. I have a hard time believing that Marcus Mariota is better than Johnny Manziel. And I think this is just a preview for teams that are going to be way high in the draft next year. I'm looking at you, Redskins. But you cannot draft Marcus Mariota in the top 10 next year. It's just, it's going to destroy your franchise, I feel.
Well, not just that. He's also a Catholic. And I want my quarterbacks taking their orders from a coach, not the Pope.
Who? Mariota?
I don't know, he's a guinea. One assumes
Marcus Mariota. No, he's from the islands, man. He's Hawaiian.
Never mind then.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? I thought he looked weird for an Italian. Mariota. It sounds like Leota.
All right.
Let's not act like I'm a mental patient here. Sadly misinformed.
You just hate college football, man. I gotta bring that side of the ball here. So
yeah, it's just not good. It isn't like amateur porn versus real porn, where amateur is 100 times better. It's like amateur doctors, you know? You're like, wow, you amputated the wrong foot again.
But Johnny Manziel is a former Heisman winner.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the crap that flies in college is just so bad at a pro level. It's just how I feel, man. I didn't grow up in the heartland having unprotected sex in a barn at age 12. Yeah. I grew up in D.C. I masturbated, and then I watched a Redskins game. That was my Sunday.
It really reinforces how difficult it is to predict whether a guy can go from college football and succeed in the pros. I mean, look at Tony Romo. He's a Saluki. Southern Illinois. All right? You need coaches that develop guys to understand how to run a pro offense, and it's just always going to be way too fast for them when they first show up at the NFL. You just hope they understand, like, the basics of being a quarterback, which the spread offense, in my opinion, it doesn't necessarily prepare guys to play in the NFL.
No, it's weird. After all these years in the spread, the Redskins-Giants game, Colt McCoy gets injured. RG3 comes in, and God help me, was that not the best performance he's turned in since year one?
This time of year, I don't like talking about teams that have no prospects of making the playoffs.
I just watched a little of it, and that was all that came out of the Redskins news-wise, at least for Sunday. And that's, I just gave thanks. It was so nice seeing Redskins news being about on-field stuff for the first time in 2 years.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I saw some of the highlights, but just the bottom line is they scored 13 points. So if him looking like he lost
a touchdown at the end of the half on some shaky, shaky review overturn call.
All right, well, I'll say this. The key highlight they played, it was actually the number 3 rushing touchdown on ESPN today.
Was it the one they called back?
No, it was where he had the stiff arm and then he got hit out of bounds.
Okay.
Now, the problem with that play, to me, is that RG3 continues to take unnecessary hits. He doesn't go out of the sideline. He actually stays in for the extra yard and gets clobbered, which adds up over 16 games.
He's dumb and he'll never learn. What, it was just fun to see him do something again.
Okay. It's just he still looks like a guy who can't play 16 games and then also expect to make it into the playoffs healthy enough to win.
So. Dude, this is the same thing you heard with Vic. Every offseason out of Michael Vick, it was just, I've been really working on my fundamentals. I'm not going to take the unnecessary hits anymore.
He never said he wouldn't take the unnecessary hits. He always said, I'm a football player first.
I thought he would. He conveyed multiple times that he was going to work more on being a pocket passer and stuff like that.
He always spoke out of both sides of his mouth because he always say, like, I can't change the way I played.
Can't do it. At least he was being honest then, because he never did. He never did, and you see how it ultimately worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a great backup quarterback to have.
Yeah, these guys have an electric season or two, and that's it. That's it. They can't take the punishment. And then everyone's like, wow, why are Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? Tom Brady's like going in for charcoal enemas and eating kale salads at 4 in the morning and then training. I forgot who was on his team. A player who came in the weight room at 7 a.m. one time, and Tom Brady's already in there. And he goes, good afternoon. And the guy's like, man, F that dude. And he comes in at 6:40 and he sees Tom Brady. And Tom goes, good afternoon. And he comes in the next day at 6:20. Good afternoon. Finally, he comes in at 6. Tom gives him one more good afternoon. And he goes, man, F you. I'm not coming in any earlier. That was a couple weeks ago. I forgot who his teammate was. But that's a real story. The dude,
that's a great story.
He protects the hell out of himself and he works hard at it, man.
And yeah, we're looking at both those guys now in the 1 and 2 seeds pretty clearly in the AFC. And they're the old guys on the block, and they're looking prime for one of them to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so let that be a lesson to anyone who wants to draft anything. You're like, what will work in the NFL? Well, the guy who sits behind the wall of ogres provided for him as another wall of ogres charges at him and tries to kill him.
I'm got to bring up Russell Wilson again, man, because
Russell's smart about it, though. Russell is always smart about it. He will almost always avoid the hit.
But here's the race bias that goes into mobile quarterbacks. Two other quarterbacks who run a lot more.
You mean
than
the nimble Negroes? Continue.
Two white quarterbacks who run a lot more than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and they run a fair amount. It's Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck. They pick their spots. They take their 3 yards when everybody's covered downfield, and the things they do, they don't get sacked. They throw an incomplete pass if they can't get across the line of scrimmage. And when they do cross the line of scrimmage running the ball, they go for the sideline or they slide. They don't take hits.
I guess then that is the real requirement here. Like, don't run and then just think you're goddamn Jim Brown in his prime.
It's just, it hurts the defense mentally to see a quarterback like take a nice little jog, slide, get back up, hand the ball to the ump, and then snap the ball again. It's the perfect time for the no-huddle offense. Just to like have the quarterback take off, slide, put the ball down, and then hike it again quickly. You have like some deep options potentially at that point.
Yeah, and you have to figure the opposite's completely true as well. Anytime you just bash the living F out of a quarterback and
next
it was a legal hit.
Next play's a running play. Hand it off to the running back. It's got to be.
Not just that. You have to go back into the defensive huddle like, oh, how good did that feel? Yeah. Damn good, man. Damn good.
Let him do that 2 more times. See how he feels in the fourth quarter. You know, it's just like, what are you guys doing? This is not how you play football at the quarterback position.
Well, what's left out of the Sunday slate of games? The Patriots crushed the Dolphins, getting vengeance for their Week 1 loss, I believe it was, in Miami. Bills beat Green Bay. I guess that wasn't expected, given the momentum that Green Bay has been playing with lately.
Very much the game of the week. I mean, here's my problem with the games this week. My criteria this time of season is you want to see teams playing their best. Good teams playing their best against each other. I know you get on my case sometimes for just being very run-oriented, but the reality is, even with teams that are pretty much in the air, like, I really like watching Aaron Rodgers play. He did not have a great game. He really didn't. Jordy Nelson also, like, played poorly in Buffalo. This is a strange stat. Packers have never won at Buffalo. They're 0-6 all time.
I didn't know that. I was just going to bust out that you can say what you want about Rodgers having a bad game, but you have to give credit to the Bills' defense. They had Peyton last week, and I believe Peyton and Aaron Rodgers combined to go for 0 touchdowns and 4 picks. In those two efforts. So those guys are playing at another level
right
now.
You look at that offense. They didn't score an offensive touchdown in this game. They might have had 21 points.
It's helmed by Kyle Orton. That's all you have to say.
It's just so sad that he beat out E.J. Manuel to run that offense. And they're 8-6 right now.
Horrible. E.J. Manuel's so bad.
It's impressive to me they're 8-6 and they're competing for a playoff spot.
You know why they're 8-6? they had the balls to say, we effed up with a first-round pick and just get him out of here.
But let me ask you this. How are they going to do in Week 17 when they play the Patriots?
They'll lose. That's my tip.
You know what their one saving grace would be?
Are they hosting the Patriots?
I don't know if it matters. I don't think
it doesn't
so.
Matter. The weather's similar. They both play in just icy hell holes.
Nah, it's nice if you can get a home game against the Patriots because you don't want to play at New England.
Of course not.
No, like the problem with... So it's at New England, but here's the thing. If somehow, someway next week, New England is able to ice first place in the AFC and clinch the bye, I wonder if the Bills are going to have a better shot of winning that game in Week 17. Because they could go up against a team that's really like, meh, we're the number one overall.
Does Belichick do that? I thought he was one of those guys that doesn't bench starters so much.
He errs on the side of playing everybody. But this isn't like the year where they were undefeated or they had the shot to go undefeated and they played hard to go 16-0. It's not like that. So I think he would consider it. I think there'll be a heavy dose of LeGarrette Blount in that game. As far as what Tom Brady does with the offense, I don't know how they would game plan for that Week 17, but I think it's going to be a lot easier for Buffalo in Week 17 than the Miami Dolphins had in Week 15. I'll say that.
Well, the rest of the Sunday's results, let's see. Jets actually win, so suddenly they've screwed up their draft standings.
There's whatever,
now a lot of two-win teams that get above them, or at least a couple left.
Talk about a real game, man. Come on.
See, Cowboys crush the Eagles. The Cowboys bus was egged coming into Philly.
Possibly the best game of the weekend, too. That was another one where it's actually helping to decide a division.
I got cock-blocked from watching the entire thing. My mom was like, It's a Wonderful Life is on.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, really? Guess what? He doesn't die in the end. He likes his life. And the bell rings and the little bitch says the thing about the Angels.
Here's the thing to me. I would be really excited if the Cowboys... You're going to hate me so much for saying this. If the Cowboys and the Seahawks were the 1 and 2 seeds.
I wouldn't care. As long as they don't win.
That's so important to me for the NFL right now. I just feel like if the Cowboys can actually resurrect that franchise into a number one seed, it's just this season to me has been so unremarkable. You look at the AFC picture. It was really predictable because this week we had Indianapolis, New England, and Denver lock up another divisional title. All three of those teams won their divisions last year, and none of us are surprised that they've already locked it up again this year. Those are extremely boring storylines. And you look at the AFC North, yeah, there's some intrigue there because you have, like, now it's three really good teams competing for the final three playoff spots in the AFC. You have a couple other teams maybe playing for a wild card, but it's really hard for me to envision anybody in the AFC right now beating Tom Brady or Peyton Manning's teams. So that's why the NFC has got to be where the action is between now and the Super Bowl, because that road to the Super Bowl, I don't think it's going to be as interesting when we look at it from the AFC perspective. I mean, other than the Ravens, I have a hard time believing. I guess if the Steelers make it, you can never count Big Ben out. But we just talked about Buffalo. Come on, man. Buffalo? What about Phillip Rivers or Alex Smith? These are the guys that we're expecting are going to do something in the playoffs? Get out of here.
I wouldn't expect much. I'd expect a good 9-7 tops from the Chargers. So it's just a limp into the postseason, yeah.
Really, I mean, the final four, I think, that would actually be interesting out of the AFC would be, like, if you had Pittsburgh, Baltimore going up against New England and Denver. Because that's four quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings. I don't see another matchup that would really be intriguing out of the AFC. And even then, it's just they're two clear favorites because the home teams will end up being Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. But, you know, like, I look at that garbage-ass Indianapolis team. I don't really have much faith in them getting very far in the playoffs. They play in a bad division, period.
They do. And, I mean, especially, it looked like the Texans really could have done something this year if they had anything lining up behind center, and they didn't. And what they did have, Ryan Fitzpatrick shattered his leg yesterday.
They put in a starting quarterback who stunk at Pitt. So, what's his name? Tom Savage. I watched him play at Pitt last year. And he reminded me of Christian Ponder because he's another really talented-looking guy, and you don't understand why he can't lead a college team to victory. You know, and that's the problem. If you can't even win at college, here's the flip side. If you can't win in college and it looks like it's your fault despite your athletic talent, I don't know if they should draft players like that. And yet that's who Houston lined up under center, and they still only lost by 7 points.
Well, they got Case Keenum coming in now.
Yeah, no, I think it's a bad situation right now for Indianapolis, because as bad as Tom Savage looked, they went up against a rookie quarterback starting his first or playing in his first game, really. And Andrew Luck could barely beat him by a touchdown, man. That's not good for Indianapolis.
No, Indianapolis has had a lot of squeakers this season.
The other garbage team, let's talk about another garbage NFL team right now. The Lions. Lions almost lost the Vikings yesterday. Come on, man. I do not see them beating Green Bay. Really don't.
I know they're currently sitting atop the North, but in my heart of hearts, don't they have like a week 17 matchup?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, no one is predicting the Lions to walk away with the win in that. And they're a weird case because, I mean, are they really bitten by injuries or have they just like tailed off? Like they started hot as hell, man. Like that offense, that first six games or so was killing it. And their defense was looking great. They had a sick like front four.
It's one of those things they always call the NFL game of adjustments. And I don't think they're adjusting. I think it's that simple.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me. They got the dummy Caldwell, right?
Yeah, I think he is easily outcoached by most people in the NFL.
You look at his face. You look at his face and you're like, I wouldn't trust this man to take my order for a steak, much less coach an NFL team. He just has he has one of those faces where you're like, all right, I want it medium rare. And he just nods. He goes, uh-huh. You're like, I'm getting something well done. And I goddamn know it, that dumb son of a bitch. That's what his face looks like. I will screw up the simplest of orders. Was there anything else from the week that you wanted to get to or you want to talk next week's slate?
I think there's two more things I really want to bring up. We didn't really talk fairly about the 49ers Seahawks because that really was one of the better games of the week. I mean, the 49ers, once again, did not show up. It was very predictable that they were not going to do well once again. But the fact that they're knocked out of the playoffs now, that's a huge story.
Yeah, and that's going to result in which Harbaugh I always... Is it Jim?
Jim, yeah.
It's probably going to result in Jim Harbaugh losing his job.
That's going to be an interesting situation as it plays out.
It's insane. It's insane. Any other coach with that record. He has, what, 3 NFC championship games?
Yeah.
To his credit, one Super Bowl appearance.
One conference title, yeah.
And he's going to have one season where, I'm going to say at worst, he's probably ending it, what, 8-8?
To me, my natural instinct with the 49ers, if I ran that franchise, I think most people feel this way, is that Colin Kaepernick is the one who needs to go. I mean, based on what he's done, it doesn't seem like he's capable. Just the eye test to me says that he's very much in that same position of he doesn't really understand when to sit in the pocket, when to throw the ball away, and when to run.
Oh, it makes me feel very happy that at least RG3 isn't the only quarterback in that kind of mold to just completely implode.
It's just that Kaepernick was a second-round pick, so.
Yeah, and he's showing it.
What does that mean, man?
And not just that.
Tom Brady was like a fifth, sixth rounder, man.
Six, yeah, but you're the one that brought up second.
I'm just saying, a second-round pick, that comes cheap. That doesn't come with a high price to your
franchise.
Oh,
that's why you brought it up. Yeah, you know. Skins have crippled themselves for 5 years. What do you want me to say?
That's what I'm saying, man. So, like, you can get rid of him. And the way his contract is structured, getting rid of Kaepernick, I don't believe is that painful for the 49ers franchise.
No, he signed, like, the worst contract possible for a starting quarterback. It was completely incentive-laden. I think he makes, like, $17,000 this year for the way the team is played. It's horrible.
But no, like, it was definitely set up in a way where I think they could have discarded him pretty quickly. And
yeah, they knew exactly what the deal was with that guy, and he just went, I'll sign.
So that's why it confuses me why they get rid of Harbaugh in this situation, because they need a new starting quarterback. Why would you bring in a new coach and a new...
Gore, sadly, has reached the end of his line.
I don't believe you.
I know you're gay for Gore.
I am.
He seems a little spent.
I disagree entirely. He still looks fine.
You think it's a side effect of Kaepernick being horrible then?
Yeah, did you not see Frank Gore on that touchdown drive? Because he looked pretty good.
I've seen enough of the Niners this season where all I can say is get rid of Kaepernick.
Yeah.
That dude is actively screwing
it's
the
just,
team.
It's nonsense that Jim Harbaugh's on the market. They're trying to trade him. So there's a lot
They're going to get nothing for him, by the way.
I wouldn't trade anything for him.
When Tampa Bay traded for Chucky and got, what did they have to give up? It was like 8 mil, 2 firsts, 2 seconds. It was insane. It crippled the team. As soon as they got him, it was like, we have to win in 2 years or we're done.
They'll be lucky to get a second-round pick for him.
Yeah, because the details, apparently before the season started, the 49ers had reached out to the Browns, or the Browns had reached out to the 49ers.
Yeah.
And the offer that almost went through, and it wasn't vetoed because of a lack of picks, and by vetoed, I mean effed in the ass by Johnny Cakes, Deep Sopranos reference. It was just they, at the end of the day, decided not to go through with it, but it was like 2 third-round picks. That's it. Two third rounders.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be good because most people are just like, why don't you just fire him? Because it seems like you want to do that anyway. Yeah, we'll just talk to him after that and not lose the pick. How about that, sucka?
Yeah, it's the same way like a player that's on his way out of town where it's like you might give up a six to get him just to make sure, but it's like, eh.
I would sooner prefer that they lose a quarterback and whoever the GM is. You know, I just think Jim Harbaugh is too good a coach for them to do otherwise. I don't even like Jim Harbaugh, really.
He's
I understand
an anus.
Why people...
He's just one of those football is war guys. Like, people like Lombardi did it, and they did it with class. He just looks like a petulant cock.
It's weird, because I don't mind when John Harbaugh does it for the Ravens. Like, John Harbaugh is just, like, the older brother version, where I think he constantly just beat the shit out of Jim, and Jim is just trying to be John as a head
Jim's
coach.
The little baby dick of the duo.
Yeah, basically. It's just, like, you could tell he's the youngest versus, like, John being the older brother. I think that's the difference. Where, like, when John Harbaugh does what he does, he's an interesting guy because he might actually leave Baltimore. I think he's upset enough with the way the Ray Rice situation was handled because he came out after the news without ever seeing the TMZ thing, apparently, and told management he wanted them to cut Ray Rice.
That's right. I had forgotten that.
Man, so, like, he looks like the saint in this whole situation. So I really do hope he ends up choosing to leave Baltimore after this season. So as much as I like the Ravens, I have a problem with the way that franchise has been run this season. So while I want to see the team win this year, if I were John Harbaugh, I'd seriously just consider leaving for Michigan. Just don't waste your time with Steve Biscotti, whatever his name is.
And Ozzie Newsome. I think Ozzie Newsome was kind of the sketchiest because before
he's
the
pretty
whole
sketchy, but...
Ray Rice thing, everyone was like, Ozzie Newsome's a goddamn genius. I love him. And then this came out. It's like, let's watch the tape. Let's chill on this for a bit.
Yeah. The one thing that you can give Ozzie credit for in this like horrible situation is he didn't lie at the hearing that Ray Rice had at his appeal.
No, Goodell was the biggest.
Yeah, that stunning. Absolutely stunning. Just the NFL is such a poorly run thing. I think getting back to the theme of the show, games were weak this week. You had a couple of times where good teams played well. And I even with that Cowboys-Eagles game, I mean, there were moments that the Eagles looked good, but for the most part, they were bad in the first half. I mean, Peyton Manning was sick, so Broncos-Chargers wasn't that exciting. It's even worse for the Chargers that they lost, considering, like, Manning was so ill. And yeah, like, 49ers didn't show up. I mean, you didn't really have other games that involved teams fighting for playoff chances other than Packers-Bills, and, you know, the Packers didn't show up. So you really didn't have great games this week in any sense. The Ravens themselves barely beat the Jaguars, man. That was terrible. So
I watched a little of that. I think a Bortles drive or two, and that was it.
But yeah, that's why I say, like, they really need the Cowboys to come back this season, in my opinion. Because otherwise, this season to me is very forgettable. It just seems a lot like last season when it comes to the AFC and the NFC. I mean, outside the Seahawks, who I do like, I mean, it's just you're looking at a repeat of last season if it's really just the Seahawks versus either Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. So.
All right, let's get to this week's slate of games then. Oh, my God, you have the War of the 2-12s Thursday night. That game couldn't be worse. It honestly couldn't be worse. There are no lesser records in the league, to my knowledge. Wait, are Raiders at still 1 and X?
It's really disappointing to me.
No, Raiders are 2-12, too.
At the very least, if we could have had Mettenberger playing Bortles, that would have been a chance to scout out rookie quarterbacks. And now, I mean, you can still see how Bortles has progressed throughout the season. But yeah, it's really disappointing that you're not getting a serious shot to vet these two guys as they're heading into next season. So that's the only argument I could have made in favor of that game at this point. But
thank God I'm free to watch must-see TV. It doesn't even exist anymore. God, time sucks. All right, Saturday games. Again, two Saturday games. Eagles at Redskins, 4:30. I mean, I'll watch it because why not? And the argument is there's so much why not, but you know what? I'll still watch it. And then 8:25, Chargers at 49ers. I guess there's a rivalry there. The whole Super Bowl thing from like 20 years ago. But
yeah, I mean, it's the Saturday games really boil down to the Chargers.
They're freebies. That's what it boils down to. It's freebies. If you just want to go balls deep binging on football, you get what? One game, two game, three game, four game, five, six. You can watch 7 games live.
Listen, man, the Chargers could seriously go 10-6, though. I mean, their last two games are at San Fran, at Kansas City. I mean, this is still they still have a very good shot of making the wild card in the West. So,
what else did you like from the week? I had kind of just said that the prime times were the only really good games.
1 o'clock games on Sunday are kind of busted. I mean, for me, if I'm going to do any sort of football watching at 1 o'clock, it's just Chiefs at Steelers. That's a playoff game. You know, just at this point of the season, you really got to highlight those games that actually mean something. And it's really great when there's two teams that are fighting for a wild card spot.
Well, then you got to highlight Falcons at Saints.
I mean, it's you can watch it. I wouldn't say those are two good teams is the problem. So,
And Manziel is starting again this week, so Browns at Panthers 1 p.m. has at least that going for it.
I got to complain again. This should have been the week. If the Browns were going to lose last week, it would have been Hoyer's fault. You know, you had to give him a chance to play the Bengals, so this would have been Manziel's chance to play against a pretty mediocre Panthers team.
You had also mentioned Colts at Cowboys 4:25.
I think that's a really important game because as much as I crap on the Colts, they still have a shot technically at getting a bye.
That is nuts. They're 10-4. God,
yeah.
Damn.
So that's a great game because the Colts are convinced they can get a bye and the Cowboys are looking at a situation they could get a bye. That's a great game.
Absolutely. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the Cowboys records and the Seahawks. And so what, the Cards are the one seed still, right, in the NFC at 11-3?
Yeah.
And then it's like Seahawks and Cowboys are kind of just 10-4s, and those are the top three.
It's crazy that the Cowboys, if they lose to the Colts, could miss the playoffs entirely.
No, wait, Lions are 10-4 as well. And Packers are 10-4.
It's crazy, but the Cowboys could go 11-5 potentially and miss the playoffs. Wait, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's true.
I'm not going to contradict it. It sounds fancy.
No, because what happens is Seattle, I'm expecting it on the Sunday night to beat the Cardinals. I'm just saying that. So
yeah,
assuming that happens.
Those are the primetime games. He got to the first of the two. Seahawks at Cardinals, 8:30 p.m. Sunday night. And Seattle won, I believe, handily when the Cards came to town a couple weeks ago, already down. What's his tits?
Oh, yeah.
White guy,
Carson Palmer. Yeah.
There we go.
Ginger.
Immobile.
No, so if the Cardinals lose out, Seattle wins the division. And
is that it?
The
it's
Cardinals
done there because they claim the tiebreaker.
They claim the tiebreaker over the Cowboys. And it's interesting because Cowboys beat the Seahawks. So if the Seahawks are the wild card, they would be seventh.
Wow. Okay.
So the Seahawks would be seventh. But the Cowboys are probably going to end up in a tiebreaker situation with the Cardinals for a wild card. Because if the Cowboys finish with the same record as the Eagles get the division. Even though they split their head-to-head.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird. So the Cowboys really could go.
I feel so cheated when it starts to get that arcane at the end of the season.
It's just...
it's like, this team sold more peanuts in their stadium this year.
Here's the simple part. Cowboys can't afford to lose another game. They have to go 12-4. Otherwise, if they go 11-5, they run the risk of missing the playoffs. It's
crap,
shocking.
Crap can get weird.
Yeah, it's shocking that they could miss the playoffs at 11-5, but it really could happen.
All right, and then Bronx at Bengals is your Monday night game this week. Should be good. I'll watch the hell out of that just because there hasn't been a lot of nationally televised Peyton the last couple weeks, really the last month. And so to me, his poor play has been somewhat concealed, but dude's been having issues.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that fully. I think they're just running the ball. I think when they got embarrassed playing against St. Louis, they had a come to Jesus talk between John Fox and Peyton Manning. And that conversation included, we have to run the ball if we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Do you remember that Super Bowl last year? It did not go so well because they just had to drop back and play coverage. We have to run the ball this year. So if your backup plan, if your running game is not working against the Bengals, is letting Peyton throw the ball more, that's not a bad place to be. That really isn't. So I honestly, I'm leaning towards the Bengals winning that game, but I don't think the Broncos are in a bad spot to win a road game there.
I'll be watching it. All right, folks, that was Papa's Football Podcast. Again, I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show's website is pfpod.com. You go there for every show we've ever done, as well as Howard's writing on the gridiron game. Alliteration. Look us up on both the iTunes podcast app or the Stitcher app, just PAPA apostrophe S Football Podcast. You can subscribe to us. You can like us, all that happy jazz. Also, look up Papa's Basement. That's the comedy show we do, the main show that we do, PAPAS apostrophe S. I love confusing people. PAPA apostrophe S Basement. And again, look that up using the iTunes podcast app or Stitcher or really whatever the hell else you do to find your podcast and subscribe. Last but not least, look up thespookiescomic.com, a comic I write with a buddy of mine. I don't know, same sense of humor, same sensibilities. Not about football. It's about spooky things. Hence the title. All right. Till the next one. We're out of here.
Peace.
Sam Jones is the highwayman.
And I want you.
Jacko is Jemmo. Together.
We're assault.
And battery!
Two guys out to energize your Friday.
Watch out!
Heading your way next Friday, The Highwayman.